Like for you, turn to the book of Matthew. I want to speak to you on the subject, who will go and work in my field? Matthew chapter 9. I was motivated to preach this sermon because of what I heard at Hillsboro when we were reminded again about the need of laborers in the vineyard. And in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, Jesus went about the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And then if you go to the book of John, chapter 4, the scripture says in chapter 4, and this time in verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereunto you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. Jesus called his disciples to be fishers of men. But I think a lot of people who are Christians are a little bit like Mark Twain. Mark Twain loved to fish, but he didn't like catching fish. He would go fishing to relax, and he said it interrupted his relaxation to catch fish and have to take them off of the hook. So he just laid back and relaxed with a pole and a line, but there was no hook on his line, no barb to catch something because he didn't want to catch anything. And when people would see him fishing, they'd say, he's fishing, let's not bother him. So Mark Twain was not bothered by fish, and he was not bothered by men, either one, and he could just sit and relax as he fished. I don't think that that's what Jesus had in mind when he tells us to be fishers of men. I don't think that was his goal was as for us to just relax, look like we're fishing, got the pole, got the line, got the bobber, but no hook on the line. Jesus wants us to be fishers of men. But in these two stories, he's not talking about fishing. He is talking about gathering for the harvest. In the one passage, John 4, Jesus had just got through witnessing to a woman, which you didn't talk to a woman over there, but a Samaritan woman at that, and an immoral woman at that, while the disciples went into town to buy food. And here in the meantime, Jesus had talked to the woman, and after he had talked to her, then she ran into the city when the disciples got back and said, come see a man who has absolutely told me everything I ever did. And the people came out and heard Jesus and said, now we heard and believe because of you, but now we've seen him for himself and we believe. So that had just happened when he had told them, don't say that there's 4 months to harvest. The fields are white already to harvest. What kind of people are needed to harvest? You'll notice that he said other people planted and that the apostles were going to reap what they had planted. Jesus and the apostles had, not Jesus and the apostles, but the prophets had sown and had done some work. John the Baptist had done some work. Obviously, they were going to reap some of the converts of John the Baptist into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So one man plants and another man comes along and waters, Corinthians says, and then another man reaps. And we can all rejoice together because some are better sowers than they are reapers, and some are good at watering. But the point of it is we are all to take part in this thing of evangelizing the world. What do we need? What kind of people does the Lord need to be reapers? Well, look at verse 35. First of all, in chapter 9 of Matthew, we need people who are interested in helping people in their real needs, not their wants, but in their real needs. Jesus went about doing good. He's going into the cities and he's teaching and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom and he's healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You need people who are interested in people. People need the Lord, but they need to know that you care. And that old proverb that's come into the world the last few years, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And Jesus went about doing good. And that's one of the best ways of evangelism that there is. Just helping people, showing that you care so that they will become interested in your Lord. You let your light shine and it'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. But I need another kind of people, not just people who want to help people with their physical problems, but secondly, look in verse 36, we need people who are gripped. That's the word, who are gripped with compassion, moved, gripped with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You need people with compassion. I've told you before that they didn't talk about the way we do. We talk about, we felt it in our heart. They said that they felt it in their bowels. The Bible says, put on bowels of compassion because it's in your bowels that you feel compassion. And when Jesus saw these crowds, now he was healing all these people, that moved him. But more than the moving of people who are physically with diseases and sicknesses, what really moved Jesus, gripped him with compassion, was people who were just tired, weary, listless, people who were like sheep who have no shepherd. The word is harassed. They were harassed like sheep having no shepherd. If there's no shepherd, sheep are harassed. I want you to keep in mind that sheep are dumb. I'm told that on a rainy day, if there is no shepherd, sometimes sheep will look in the air, up in the air and drown. Too dumb to lower their head. Sheep are a dumb animal, and they're a defenseless animal. And these sheep are as sheep deprived of a shepherd who cares about their feebleness and the fact that they're lost and that they are wandering around. So you not only want to have compassion upon physical needs of people, you need to have compassion on people who are just weary of life and going through life harassed, not by somebody particularly picking on them, but life causes people to feel harassed. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They don't have a leader. They're aimless. They're listless. And you see people like that. Go to a fair. Go places and watch crowds of people and just see how listless they can be and how that they're aimless. You can tell by the way they're dressed. You can tell by the way they're acting. Jesus was gripped with compassion. We'll probably never be soul winners until we're gripped at people who are just lost, aimless, helpless, dumb people like sheep without a shepherd. But there's something else you need. You need people who have a vision for a plenteous potential for harvest. Now, the other one says that he said to them, look or lift up your eyes. And look, for the fields are white already unto harvest. Here he says, the harvest truly is plenteous. We need to be people who can lift up our eyes have a vision what could be done, the potential that there is. Whenever you see people with a great need, you've got a potential of harvesting that person. This week at the camp, I was talking to a young man, in fact, it was a relative of Vicky's, and I told him, I said, you know, you ought to maybe try that insurance business again. He was in it for a little while. You need to try that again. And right then, Mark's wife came up, and I sell a policy to parents and grandparents for their children. And I told him, I said, now you can make a good living selling that little policy, and you'd be helping people. And right then, Mark's wife came in, and she's expecting. And I said, ah, a prospect. And he began, always the insurance man looking for a prospect. That's what a Christian has to do. You need to look for prospects. He says the harvest truly is plenteous. Or in the other verse, he says the fields are white already unto harvest. You need to see that there is a tremendous potential for harvesting people. I don't sell a lot of insurance to people who already have insurance. You sell insurance to people who don't have insurance. And when people don't know the Lord, they are potential. You have a prospect. I heard about a shoe salesman one time, went over there to a foreign country and no one wore his shoes. And he wrote back, says, I might as well come home. They don't wear shoes over here. And the other salesman wrote and said, send tons of shoes. Nobody over here wears shoes. That's the point. You have to look. You have to lift up your eyes. You have to have a vision for the potential. When you see some long-haired freak with tattoos all over his arm and his hair sticking out every which direction, dyed 40 different colors, that's a prospect. No, he may not listen. But that boy's looking for something. And I'm saying what Jesus says here, that the fields are white already unto harvest. And he says it's plenteous. So we need people who have a vision that can look beyond what those people look like. Just because they are druggies or alcoholics or they're immoral girls, I'm telling you, we need to see that there can be a great harvest. They're looking for something in the bottom of that bottle. They're looking for something in that needle. They're looking for something in that illicit relationship that they don't have. And we need to be able to see the potential of a harvest. And we need to find people who are aware of a great problem. There's few laborers. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we need to see people who recognize there's a Lord of harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's his harvest. It's his field. And he's Lord of it. What farmer who owns a field does not want laborers to harvest his crop? Can he harvest it all by himself? The Lord of harvest wants his field harvested. And we need people, of course, who believe in the power of their prayers for the Lord of harvest to thrust out laborers. That's the word. He said the Lord of harvest can thrust out, cast out laborers. Some men are hauled kicking and screaming to be soul winners. It's not natural. It's not always comfortable. Sometimes you get yourself in a position that you wished you weren't in. No one says soul winning is comfortable. No one says it's great fun. The Lord will thrust out laborers to harvest the field. So we need people who will pray for laborers to enter into the harvest. So Jesus just did not pity these people that he saw. But he saw the need and the possibility of a harvest. He saw the potential. It's plenteous. It's white already. Grain is green, and then it will turn golden. And when it's just ready to fall off of the stalk, it turns white. And of course, when it's white and it drops off and falls to the ground, it's not harvestable. It's white. People are dying and going to hell. And the fields are white already. And so he didn't only just pity, but he saw the potential of the harvest. He saw the problem of the harvest, laborers. We need laborers. And he saw the solution of the harvest, us praying for laborers to be sent out into the harvest. We don't do that enough here. I'm ashamed that we do not pray more often for people to labor into the harvest. There was a church in the Standard a few years ago that had ran off and discouraged 12 young men from preaching. And a new preacher came and he said, "You guys got rid of all these preachers. Now it's your turn to put some preachers back on the field." And so he had them begin to pray. Every single time they met, they began to pray that men would be raised up to preach the gospel. And in 2 years, they had 12 men enter into the ministry. We don't pray enough for laborers. I think the Bible says, "You have not because you ask not." Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will thrust out laborers into the vineyard. And he says, I don't want you to say in 4 months, then we'll harvest. No, he says the fields are white already. Now is the day of salvation. In regular sowing and reaping, it takes a time from between the sowing and the time that you begin to reap. But Jesus talked to one woman, a Samaritan woman, an immoral woman. And in one woman, in another half hour or another hour, out comes the whole city of Sychar to hear him preach. He sowed, and in an hour later, he reaped. Now is the day of salvation. It's not like regular harvest time. Now is the day. And don't say, "Well, we're gonna. Now is the day of salvation, just as these Samaritans came. Now, because the field was white already. Perhaps when he said that, the people from Sychar was drawing near. And he's saying, the fields are white already unto harvest. In a half an hour or an hour, what was sown in the heart of that Samaritan woman was now going to bear fruit. And so when he says now, then you want to keep in mind when he's telling us that don't say 4 months, but the fields are already white into harvest, you want to keep in mind harvest time is seasonable. There's going to come a time we can't reap. And when the grain is white, it falls to the ground and perishes. It's so essential to realize that there's going to come a time when the Lord's going to come and we're not going to see anybody else harvested. It's emergency now. You don't say when you see a field ready to be harvested, 4 months from now, I'll do that. It's seasonable. You got to do it now. Farmers are anxious. They can hardly wait to get out in the field. And if it's raining, man, it frustrates them. They know they're going to lose grain. And so it's important for us to realize that the fields are white, it's dropping off, and they're never going to be harvested. Time now to need labors. Time now to need prayers. Ask, seek, knock. That's what Jesus said. And that's what we need to do. We need to ask and seek and knock for laborers, because he says the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. Both the sower and the reaper, the one that sows, the man that can reap, can both rejoice. And you want to also notice he says that the reaper is paid. The reaper is a person that gets it. But then he not only says that in John 4, look what else he says there in John 4. It's not just that he is paid right now. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. It's not just that he's receiving wages, but he's getting fruit for life eternal. The ministry may not pay great wages, but it's got a tremendous retirement plan. because all those people that are going to come up to us, and this isn't just about preachers, this is about reapers. It's telling us that we're going to receive fruit unto life eternal, and that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. And I sent you to reap that wherein you bestow no labor. Other men labored, and you're entered into their labors. That one woman sowed, and many of Sychar believed on him when they came to find out more about Jesus. See, what we need to do is we need to see what Jesus sees. And what Jesus sees is the needs of people. And what Jesus sees is the shepherdlessness of people, the listlessness, no aim in life. We need to see that, and we need to be moved with compassion. We need to feel it in our bowels. And we need to have compassion upon people. We need not only to see what Jesus sees, we need to feel what Jesus feels. And that's compassion. And we need to do what Jesus did. This is a true saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now, God only had one son, and he made a preacher out of him. And we need to do something else. We need to do what Jesus said. Not only see what he sees and feel what he feels and do what he did, but we need to do what Jesus said. And he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he'll send forth laborers. Lift up your eyes into the fields, for the fields are white already unto harvest. You look in the obituary and you see where some 22-year-old boy died of an overdose. That was white grain that fell off into the ground, unsaved. White already, not 4 months. Now, it's an important thing to understand it. See, what we need is hospitality evangelism. Man, it's amazing what you can do with unbelievers if you'll invite them into your home and you're hospitable. There's just something about getting your feet under the table, especially if it's your table. It's a tremendous thing to do. There's kindness evangelism. There's as-you-go evangelism. You need to plant seeds all the time, and you need to try to harvest the seeds that other people have already planted. I have in my notes here, Johnny Appleseed. Well, I've learned that you got to be careful using illustrations without researching a little. So I searched on Johnny Appleseed. Yes, he walked around barefooted even in the winter, and he sowed apple seeds all over Illinois and Indiana and Ohio, and Pennsylvania. He sowed a lot of seeds, never where he went. He didn't just sow a seed, he planted. And he owned those. And he would come back by and pick up the money. I didn't know that. When he died, he was worth millions of dollars. Left it to his sister. And he was a preacher. A false teacher, I might add. Passed around Swedenborg literature all the time. But still, you think of Johnny Appleseed just going across the country with a purpose of planting apple trees all over the Midwest. That's what you ought to do, but not with apples. What you need to do is always just be trying to plant little seeds. Maybe leaving a track. I was with some people the other day eating. When I got up, I left a tip, they left a track. That track may have done a lot more good than my tip. We ought to sow seeds. But we ought to spend some time finding out, when they've got a little bit of Bible knowledge, evidently somebody has planted some seeds. Maybe we can harvest those seeds. But one thing we're not going to be able to do, if we do not pray for laborers to enter into the harvest, we're not going to receive, because you have not, because you ask not. And we need to pray more. We need to try our best to get people to reap and go out and win souls for Christ. In chapter 10, I don't have time to talk about this much except to say this, that he did send men out, and verse 1 shows that he empowered them, verse 5 showed that he commanded them, then it shows in several verses what he instructed them to do, and then in verse 16, he says, I'll provide for you, and then he warns them, and then he says, I'm sending you out like wolves among sheep, sheep among wolves, I should say. And he says, I want you to set your priorities straight, and I want you to know that I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword, and you're going to set your father against the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter against the mother, the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. So he wanted them to know, you're going to cause trouble. And then he sent them out and told them, now there's going to be some rewards. And he says that in the scriptures, that he is going to give rewards even to those that if they so much as give a drink of cold water in his name, they will in no way lose your reward. Paul says, God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. He says, all God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to all good works. God will take care of you. The Bible says this, and I've always loved this psalm. In fact, I preached on it one time to you. In Psalms chapter 126 and verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, without doubt, come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He sows, he'll reap. Someone else may get to reap it, but the point of it is, if you sow, you reap. And we need to be out reaping what other people have sown. See, Jesus thinks if you're going to go fishing, you ought to catch some fish. Right side of the boat, he told the fellas. If you're going to go fishing, you ought to catch fish. If he thinks if you're going to have a banquet, you ought to have some guests. He thinks there ought to be figs on a tree if the leaves of the fig tree are already out. He believes that a tree ought to be cut down if it doesn't bear fruit. He thinks that sheep should be brought back to the fold. He thinks that lost coins ought to be searched for diligently. He thinks that prodigal sons ought to be watched for. And he thinks that fields that are white unto harvest ought to be harvested. The Lord doesn't do anything in vain. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee. You've heard me sing, when in the better land before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved my soul would be if any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day. You knew I was astray, but you never mentioned him to me. Let me play you a song, and I hope this is listenable too. There is peace and contentment in my Father's house today. Lots of food on his table, and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush comes the singing as the Father sadly cries. My house house is full, but my field is empty. Will go and work for me today. Oh, it seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my fields. Push away from the table, look out through the window pane. Just beyond this house of plenty lies a field of golden grain, and it's ripe unto harvest. But the reapers, where are they? In the house, oh, count the children, hear the father sadly say. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. No one wants to work in my field. Who will go and work? Who will go and work in my field? Who will go and work in the field? I'm going to try to be more faithful in praying to the Lord of Harvest that He would raise up laborers to work in the harvest. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for not praying that prayer. We've preached that You will do nothing except in answer to prayer, and that we have not because we ask not. Help this congregation, Church Christ at Grissom, to lay upon people's hearts the need of laborers, the need of praying for laborers. I pray the men in the congregation might be laborers, that the women in the congregation might be laborers. We're not just asking for preachers, we're asking for harvesters, people who will reap the seed, the fruit of the seed that their parents have sown, that the Sunday school teachers and the jam teachers have sown. Help us to reach people. Help us to see that You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it's silly about saying, I want to do God's will, when we hear that You're not willing any perish and we don't do anything about it. Forgive us, Father. Convict us. I pray that we'd lift up our eyes, that we'd be moved with compassion, and that You would thrust out, cast out laborers. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you're not a Christian today, you've got an opportunity to obey the gospel. If you believe he's the Son of God, and you've got a repentant attitude towards sin, we'll stop doing wrong, we'll start doing right, and you're willing to be baptized into him, we'd be glad to baptize you into Christ so that you would begin a Christian life and help harvest fields that are ripe, white, already unto harvest.